Good evening. Let me back up so I can maybe see everybody. It's been a great day today. Yesterday was a great day. Yesterday was my dad's 90th birthday. And about a month and a half ago, it was another great day. Now, these may be just great days in Bowman history, but they're great days. It was Mary and I's 28th wedding anniversary. She's been with me for 28 years, and she's told me it wasn't just solely based on my good looks and spiked hair. So you'll kind of see that means as we go along. Anyways, about a month and a half ago, we decided to go to Oak Island for the weekend. Our anniversary was on April 14th. So on the way down, Mary was talking about something. I guess she noticed she didn't have my full attention. I thought I was paying attention to Mary, but I wasn't. So you know who's going to win that discussion, right? But, by the way, excuse me, I got something in my throat. By the way, the average attention span is 8 seconds. The average attention span of a person is around 8 seconds. I've already lost most of you, right? The average attention span of a goldfish is 9 seconds. Mary says my average attention span is about 5, and I think she's highballing it a little bit. So anyways, it's not that I'm not listening to Mary. It's when she talks, it just kind of, it triggers a thought. That thought usually leads to baseball or golf. But in the background, I'm still listening. She doesn't think so, but I'm still listening. So that discussion went more into the weekend. It wasn't just one time, it went more into the weekend. We were at a restaurant, and Mary was talking about something, and she noticed I started drifting. She was probably right, because I was probably thinking about the Braves or what golf balls I wanted, you know. But I'll never forget what she said as I was drifting. She said this, and she said it out loud. She said, "And I lost him." Out loud, she just right at me and said, "And I lost him." Well, they brought me back. I started laughing about it. But you see, Mary, all she requires is that I just act like I'm paying attention to her, that I'm listening to her, you know? That's one of her requirements. 28 years, just act like you're listening to me, right? Well, requirements, they're part of life, right? I have requirements I have to meet at work, not just personally, but if you work in the IT world, there's requirements everywhere. If you've ever bought a computer, if you ever downloaded software, you know what I mean, right? There's requirements for everything. There's requirements to buy a house. There's requirements when you go get your license. There's even requirements at Disney World, right? You have to be this high to ride a wire. Requirements. What does the Lord require of me? What does the Lord require of us? So let's turn to a favorite verse of mine. That's Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8. Now, I'm going to be honest. I've liked this verse for a long time. Since around 1996 or 97. Why am I so specific? Because that's when Stephen Curtis Chapman came out with a song entitled "The Walk." And it's based on Micah 6:8. I didn't know what this verse was about, but I loved the song. Anyways, Micah 6:8. "He has shown you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" Requirements, right? Now, before we jump into this, let's look at a little history about this verse, and let's see what Micah's talking about. But first, who is Micah? Who is this guy that wrote this? Well, let's turn back a little bit to Micah 1:1. Let's find out. Micah 1:1 says, "The word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem." So Micah is a prophet of Israel, specifically concerning the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel, Samaria, and the capital of the southern kingdom of Judah, which is Jerusalem. He's a prophet during the reign of three kings. Now, Micah's from a small town called Moresheth, right? It's located about 20 miles southwest of Jerusalem. Now, keep this in mind as we read further in Micah 6, that Moresheth is at the foothills of the rugged Judean mountains. Okay? Now that we know the who, what, when, where, and how of Micah, let's look at the first part of chapter 6. So flip back to chapter 6. And let's find out about these requirements that Micah's talking about in verse 8. Now these first seven verses, Israel's on trial. God has a complaint against them. He's pleading with the disobedient people of Israel. So starting with verse 1, God says, "Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice." Hear what the Lord says. J. Vernon McGee said that not only is this a call to Israel, but this is a call to the whole world. God tells him to arise, plead your case before the mountains and the hills. Remember where Micah's from? And continuing in verse 2, God continues his formal charge against him, and he's calling them out. He says, "Hear you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel." And then in verse 3, instead of telling Israel what they did, God asks them, he says, "O my people, what have I done to you? Have I wearied you? Answer me." It's an emotional plea from God. He says, "What have I done? Why are you not walking with me anymore? Don't you love me?" He says, "Tell me, answer me. Why are you doing these things?" God continues in verses 4 and 5, and he reminds them what he has done for them. He says, "For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord." God's pleading with Israel. He pleads with us today. He says, "Look back." He says, "Man, I know things get tough, but look back at what I've done for you. Stop sinning against me and come back. Come back, walk with me, and hear me. Look at all your blessings that I have given you. Hear me." He said, "Matt, I sent you Christ. You were lost, and I sent you righteousness." But what did Israel say in the next verses? Some of the same things we say. Verses 6 and 7. "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" They said, "Why are you displeased with me, God? I'm just as good as the next guy, right? I may blow my horn on the road, but I don't get out and punch the guy. I go to church. I give. And if you ask me to do something, I give my time, right? What more do you want from me? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? More works?" We know that works aren't going to get us to heaven. Some people think so. At least about 40% of North Carolinians think that works are going to get them into heaven. So what do I need to do? What does he require of me? Well, Micah answers that, right, in verse 8. Micah says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good." Micah reaches back all the way to Deuteronomy 10:12 and summarizes the law of Moses and tells man, he tells all of us, not just Israel, but all of mankind, what is good. Micah says, Matt, let me tell you what God requires of you. God doesn't require external gifts or works. He requires a spiritual worship that comes from our heart. A spiritual worship that comes from my heart. God requires us to do justly, right? But look what Romans 3:11 says. It says, none is righteous. No, not one. Well, if Romans 3:11 says, none is righteous, no, not one, how can I do justly? How can I be a righteous person? There's got to be a change, right? Turn to Romans 3:21 through 26. There has to be a change within us. Romans 3:21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through the faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So to summarize that, it's through faith in Jesus Christ we receive the righteousness of God. All of us have sinned and fallen short, but we are justified with the free gift of salvation through Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross. Not only through His death, right? Romans 4:22 through 25 says God raised Him for that justification. 22 says that is why faith has counted to Him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to Him were not written for His sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in Him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Martin Luther once said, in these verses, the whole of Christianity is comprehended. The whole of Christianity is comprehended in those four verses. Now furthermore, 1 John 2:29 says, if you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. So if we're born again and we really want to get to know Him, we begin to love mercy. Not to do mercy, right? But to love mercy. There's a lot of things I do that I don't love, right? But He says to love mercy. The definition of mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone. How many of us find it hard to forgive others or to show compassion to those who have wronged us? Or to those that are different from us? God has compassion on us so much that He sent His Son that our sons would be forgiven if we believe, right? Luke 6:36 says, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Micah continues this in Micah 7:18. He hits another home run right here, Micah. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He does not retain His anger forever because He delights in mercy. He's not angry forever because He delights in mercy. That's a wonderful characteristic of God, delighting in mercy. And get this, just hear this right here, Psalm 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Do justly. Mercy and truth go before your face. Love mercy. Wow. That's His foundation right there. Is that ours? Do we delight in it? Do we love to tell others about Jesus, and are we compassionate about it? I mean, it challenges me. Let me tell you, a couple months ago, it was February to be exact, was the Southeastern Workers Conference, right? Right here at Shannon Hills. Great time, great speakers. It was a great topic. Lord, teach us to pray. All those messages online, Facebook, and web. That's a great tool. Internet and social media, a great tool for the ministry. But one thing that I took away, and it's one thing I'm never going to forget, is something that Dan Smith said. We were sitting right over here. It was during break. He was talking about a girls' camp that he spoke at. And he talked about how some of those girls came to know Christ. It was a great story. But I'll never forget that the tears he wiped away as he was telling it. He loved those girls. He loves Christ. And he had compassion for them. We all should, right? This next verse, Psalm 89, says, "Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance." That's the joyful sound of the gospel, where we walk in God's light, right? Whichever way he goes, we walk humbly. Now, a couple months ago, I was studying for the young adults class, and I was reading a sermon by Stephen Davey. God humbled me, if you will, about my walk with him. He challenged me by asking this one question. Am I a disciple of Jesus Christ, or am I a believer only? Am I a disciple of Jesus Christ, or am I a believer only? Do I hunger for God's Word? Or is today the first time I've opened the Bible all week? Am I eagerly reading His Word daily? Do I have a commitment to the body of Christ? Do I want to deny myself and take up His cross every day? Do I have a burden for the lost world? Do I want to be a fisher of men? Am I a disciple of Jesus Christ, or am I a believer only? D.L. Moody, he was visiting a church in a large city. And he was looking out the window of a pastor's second story office. And he was watching the people down below. Now the pastor was impressed with the city. He was impressed with the location of the church. The pastor came over and asked D.L. Moody. He kind of stuck out his chest. He said, "What do you see?" And D.L. Moody said, "I see hundreds and hundreds of people who do not know Christ." Do we have that hunger, or do we just believe? Am I a disciple of Christ, or am I just a believer? Last month, I went down to Jacksonville to watch a golf tournament. And as me and my brother were there on hole number 16, I was looking up and down. It's 523 yards long. People were six deep, waiting for Tiger to tee off. And at the holes around the bleachers, or at the tee box and the bleachers around their hole, I mean, it was full. I mean, just tons and tons of people. And I couldn't help but think of what D.L. Moody said. I see hundreds and hundreds of people who do not know Christ. I want to walk with God daily. I need to. I need to walk with God daily. I don't want God to say one time like Mary said, and I lost him. I drift a lot, I can tell you that much. I want to hear him say, "Walk with me. Hear me." Just like he told the people of Israel. "Do justly with me, Matt. Love mercy with me, Matt. And walk humbly with me, Matt." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. It's a great day, Lord, that you made. Lord, I just pray that you do help us to do justly, Lord. We thank you that you sent Christ for our righteousness. Lord, we pray that we would love mercy, that we would reach out to others and tell them about you. And Lord, just help us with our walk. We know that Jesus set that example of that walk that we need to walk. And we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to go out each and every day and be fishers of men for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.